Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Ninth time's a charm. That's how it was for the Mariners in Arlington. Their last eight games at Globe Life, they've lost, including six last season. Not great. Swept in both of those series. But not yesterday. Not yesterday. Thanks in part, Bump, to home runs from Cal and Julio's first of the season. So let's get to it. You want to start with pitching? You want to start with offense?
Let's start with pitching, man.
Let's start
pitching
with Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert finishes off six shutout innings.
Gilbert's next pitch. Swinging, it's a twisting fly ball out to Haniger in right field. Straight away, right Haniger underneath it, moving back a couple of steps. He makes the catch for out number three, and Logan Gilbert is just in cruise control tonight in Arlington. One hit allowed over six scoreless innings.
It's a win for Logan. The pitching for this team has just, it's not like it was bad to start the year. It was just uncharacteristically not great. And instead in this one, you got six and two thirds, two hits allowed, just walked four, struck out six, obviously no runs. Amazing game from Logan.
Logan did his thing. And the thing that impressed me the most about Logan is that he made an adjustment. Now, you know, I'm watching the game, and I seriously watch these games, Stacey, and I try to guess what type of pitch he throws in that pitch. Like, oh, man, that was this. Oh, man, that was that. So at the end of the game, he has his post-game, I guess, presser or conference or whatnot, and he talks about how the splitter wasn't working for him. I had to adjust, so I started throwing the cutter.
Were you like, yeah, I saw that?
I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. Could definitely tell that's what you were doing.
That splitter wasn't looking good.
Know? And but that impressed me because in-game adjustments is what it's all about. You can go into a game with a plan. He looked at the lineup and says, this is how I'm going to attack each batter. I'm going to rely on this. I'm going to rely on that. And it ain't working. So what do? You have to adjust. So he pulled out the cutter. He said he didn't show him much of that during the spring, but it was there. So the fact that he was able to calm himself down, started off a little shaky with a couple walks, right? Calm yourself down, get back on track, and adjust. I love the adjustment. I love having secondary pitches that you can rely on. That was impressive to me. And his whole demeanor. I mean, Logan is Logan when he's on that mound. But, yes, the in-game adjustments, which I didn't really realize till the end. Not going front. I saw him having my guy Garcia twisted up a couple times. So I knew something was up. But it was nice hearing that he was able to make a change.
Logan just outside the top 10 in total ERA right now, having a phenomenal start to his season. Here's what he had to say about it.
I feel good. There's always stuff to clean up. But I think my mentality is good. I'm trying to simplify things and know what makes me successful. I think Cal does a really good job mixing it up, and especially with the cutter and slider and just everything, when to go to what pitches, and kind of helps me out different times through the order as well.
He has four quality starts this season, which is tied for second with Ronel Blanco, who's had a no-hitter, and Dylan Cease for San Diego. Jose Berrios and Logan Webb leading that with five. I mean, this is a great group to be part of right now for Logan.
Yeah, it's an excellent group. I think he is just in a zone right now. He's in a zone. Everything feels good. And when it doesn't feel good, he's still able to adjust, like I mentioned. You talk about the quality starts. The Mariners have 13 overall. That is second place behind the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, if you can get quality starts, you are going to be in the game. But not only did he get a quality start, right? He threw 100 pitches on the dot. I was hoping he was going to be able to close out that seventh inning. But he also got support early. He got some runs early, and he mentions that too. He goes, man, once you get that kind of help early, it allows you to relax a little bit and really go after this lineup, which we knew you had to go after.
Here's what I love about where the pitching is right now for Seattle. If I gave a mic to every single listener, and you and Curtis and even Matt, and I said, hey, tell me which Mariners pitcher has had the best start to the season, there would not be one resounding common answer. Yeah. And that's when you're in a pretty good spot. I think there would be some people making their case for Bryce Miller. There would be some people making a case for Logan, and they would all be right. There would be some people saying, well, I really like how Luis really turned it on in his last start. I have a lot of faith in him. You know, he's just been getting unlucky. There would be a couple different answers, and that's a good spot to be. Let's talk about the offense. Julio with his first home run of the season.
Has not homered yet, 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball out to left field. Number one is sailing away. How far? Midway up the second deck. Julio's first in 2024 is loud. A two-run bomb, truly. And it's 4-0 Mariners.
loud, and also a huge home run. 435 feet, 110 miles per hour off the bat. According to Daniel Kramer of MLB.com, it is the farthest hit and hardest hit Mariners home run of the season.
Let's go. We knew it was going to happen. I think everybody here said it would happen yesterday during Hype Train. You know, we believed it, but we also were just trying to make things happen, send good vibes Julio's way. And you felt like it was coming because he was squaring things, not necessarily squaring it up. He had some bloopers out there, right? Just slapping it out there, dropping it into space. But it doesn't matter. Sometimes all you need to do is just have that type of success, and eventually you get going. The numbers have been on the rise for Julio. The power numbers haven't been what you wanted it to be. So this was a great sign. And there was no question about this. As soon as he hit that thing, you saw the way he was looking at it. You knew it was gone, and then the celebration was dope. You mentioned in our show email that hugging the trident.
I love that.
You know, but man, it's been a while, but we're back together again. I like
loved
to see it.
Raising it and then hugging it and like putting it next to his face. I saw Sarah Langs tweeting out a photo too, and she was like, "Baseball is great. Baseball is the best." I definitely had a little like, "Oh, good for you,"
good for
moment.
You, Julio.
I got a little soft. Before I mention this next name. I want to tell you how this next bit made me feel. Is there anything, and this could be sports, non-sports, anything, where you randomly think about it and get mad? Like, maybe something that happened, something you thought was stupid, and whenever you're reminded of it, all over again, you go, I wish I hadn't thought about this, because now I'm mad.
Yeah, I mean, does that have to be sports related?
It could be anything.
Yeah, this is the thing that gets me mad, dude. I'll never forget this. I was at a family function. And, you know, it's as adults, you kind of keep eyes on the kids. You know, everyone checks and makes sure, okay, boom, we're good. And I had gone inside to grab something, and my son was like in the middle of the street. And there was a cousin who's a grown man who goes, hey, somebody kid is in the street. Go get my son. If your kid was in the street, I would have gotten your kid. Till this day, I think about that. And every time I see that dude,
somebody's
I'm like, you irresponsible. We watch out for each other's kids.
Yeah.
That right now,
I got real. Hot. Every time I saw that dude, I would low-key be remembering that moment. Like
Every time I see him, I just stare at him. I mean, I don't even say what's up.
So
I just stare
at him. So this is far less serious. Far less serious.
Okay.
I'm bringing it back to baseball.
All right.
But I have the same energy. Whenever Cal does anything great, I get mad all over again.
How's that?
That for
Why
a second consecutive season, he was not in the top 10 pitchers. That a second consecutive season leading all catchers in home runs, he was not in the top 10 catchers list.
Yeah.
And my mind is blown. So when Cal Raleigh hits a 2-run home run.
And here she comes. It is on the way and it's flying toward home. Swinging a fly ball into right field and deep. Garcia going back, looking up, and goodbye baseball. Into the lower deck in right field. Hot hitting Cal Raleigh with his 6th home run of the season. And it puts the Mariners on top 2-0 here in the top of the first inning.
When Cal Raleigh hits his 6th home run of the season, his 4th home run in 5 games, and when he is batting like .425 over his last 7, I get mad all over again that he is not considered one of the top 10 catchers in the league.
Disrespect.
The disrespect is real.
Sometimes nice guys do finish last.
No,
he's too much of a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, last 7 days, he's batting .474, on base percentage of .522, slugging over 1,000, OPS over 1,000.
Wild.
You mentioned 4 bombs in the last 5 games. But you know what? I think I think this is the type of thing that motivates Cal. And I think once he gets the recognition he deserves, he'll still be the same dude. But whatever it takes, man, get that chip on your shoulder, leave the chip on your shoulder, and let these folks know, man, he's one of the best in the game. And we're not just talking about with the bat, too. Defensively, my man is on point as well. So, yeah, stop the Cal disrespect.
Yeah, speaking of defensively, take a listen to what Scott Servais had to say about one Josh Rojas.
Josh played great, really good defense to start with, but the offense, he just puts bat on the ball. Doesn't try to do too much, uses the whole field, you know, big double down the line tonight, and it's always a competitive bat with Ro. May not start out competitive the first couple pitches, he may be out of whack, but he makes really good adjustments within and at bat, and you're seeing it play out here on a nightly basis.
You could pull sound in early spring from any host here on Seattle Sports, including myself, and at some point you'd be able to find us saying the following thing. I'm a little nervous about third base, and I'm a little nervous about defense.
Mm-hmm.
Is Josh Rojas better than we were giving him credit for?
I think he's he's showing that he can be. I mean, what are we, 22, 23 games in right now? And it started off rough, and now he's starting to come into form and show that he's able to do it. So, yeah, I think up to this point, I think we can say that. But, again, it's a long season. Like, even after the game yesterday, Sims is talking to Cal, and Sim goes, first place, man. Cal laughs. He goes, yeah, man, long season.
Yeah,
long
he's like, ah.
Right, but that's for us, Cal. Let us have this because we're enjoying this. But, yeah, I think whatever you do consistently is who you are. And we've seen both from Rojas. We've seen him struggle a little bit. We've seen him be great defensively. Now it's about just, again, stack the day, stack the games, and continue to do it. But you're starting to see, I guess, what the Mariners saw when they acquired him.
I agree. And you're starting to see what the Mariners saw and what Jerry and Justin saw when they built this team. And to Cal's point, it is early. Like, just like I and anyone was hesitant when they were really struggling to be like, this is definitively who they are. Yeah. You can be concerned. I was concerned.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I didn't like it. It's not fun baseball, but it's like, well, I can't say this is definitively who they are. We're a week and a half, 2 weeks into the season. I'm trying to apply the same rationale to this and be like, well, I can't think that like they're going to be in first place for a long time, that they're going to, you know, be this great and they're going to, you know, that this pitching is always going to be fantastic. At some point in the season, the offense is probably going to have to carry the pitching. However, you can still take things from it. If I was going to have concerns and questions when they were bad, then I can take real things from this when they're good. And one of them is that the version of the team they constructed when it's firing on all cylinders is a pretty good team.
This is what's good. And if they would have lost this game 4-0, if it was reversed, then we'd have some bad things to say. You got to take it game by game. And what was good about this game is you get another quality start. Logan looked good. He was able to adjust. Julio hits his first bomb with 30-something feet, I believe. You got Cal, who continues to do his thing. Rojas is looking good defensively. They got off to a fast start, which is something they typically don't do. The bullpen has been better than expected this year, too. I mean, Stanek comes in and does his thing. Spire does his thing. Munoz. That was a team win, and they did something that they haven't done, like you mentioned, open the show, haven't done in 8 trips to Arlington. And passing yesterday said this is going to be like a psychological type thing, a mental thing as well. And yesterday I go, look, nah, forget all that. We just came and played hard, and there's things to build off of. Go ahead and win this series. And that's exactly what they positioned themselves to do. Riz yesterday also said, he goes, you got to take care of number 1 and number 2 in the order for the Rangers. How about number 1 through 4 going like 0 for 14? And 5 caves or something like that. I'm saying they did what the organization felt that they're going to be capable of doing consistently. Now it's just buying into what you're seeing, taking it game by game. You can't forget they still got Simeon over there. They still got Garcia. They still have a lineup that can get after you. But you take this win because, like Passon said yesterday, mentally this was huge for them. A lot of guys have been in that ballpark and haven't won. And they did it when the homie Mitch got his ring. So get your ring, Mitch. Come over to the dark side dugout. Get your W. Welcome back to Texas.
A 4-0 win in the series opener for the Mariners. They're going to see if they can go ahead and take this series in game 2 today. I asked you if there was ever anything that made you really mad as part of a tease that I had because Cal not being one of the top 10 catchers on, I think it was like Fox Sports, continues to annoy me every time I think about it. Like whenever Cal does something great, I just go, ugh, I can't get over it. And you mentioned your son when he was young being in the street and a cousin going, someone's kid is in the street, and you got angry. 425 with a similar experience said, at my kid's 3-year-old birthday party, a mom kicked her kid off the trampoline so she could jump by herself. We don't hang out with her anymore.
Nah, man, let the kid's kid, man.
Wild.
What's going on?
Just imagining a mom kicking her own kid off the trampoline so she could jump by herself. I'd be like, am I now consoling your kid because he's crying because you kicked him off the trampoline? You got to go. Yeah, that's just an absolutely wild start. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number 1. The Heisman Trust announced today that they are reinstating Reggie Bush's 2005 Heisman Trophy, citing enormous changes in the college football landscape. What's the real headline?
The Heisman Trust did something they should have done years ago. I don't even have a joke about it. It was just the most obvious thing on the planet that they should have given him his Heisman back, given all the changes to college football, even prior to NIL deals. But man, now especially so.
Everybody knew who the heck Reggie Bush was back in the day. Everyone knows that that Heisman Trophy didn't go anywhere. His senior year in 2005, junior year, 2005, his Heisman year, 1,700 rushing yards, 16 rushing touchdowns, 478 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, and then a punt return to the house. Reggie Bush was the type of dude who made you pay attention to what they're doing. I'm on the other side of the ball, other side of the sideline. When USC's offense was up, after I got done being coached up, usually I sit down and relax and wait for a sudden change. I got up and I go, let's see what Reggie's going to do, because I'm trying to keep up with him. Why doesn't my body move like that? How is he able to do these things?
It was unreal.
It's crazy. Him, Adrian Peterson, and DeSean Jackson were the ones I was trying to catch my whole career.
Yeah.
How are they doing this? Reggie is the best football player, college football player, I've seen with my own eyes.
I agree. And we're also part of the same generation. There are going to be people younger than us and are people much older than us who are always going to have a different player. And that's what's great about sports is you can debate it. But for me, for you, I'm sure for Curtis, all of us being within a couple years of each other, it was Reggie. Like that was it. And you think about all the ways that college football not only was already corrupt, but all the ways that it changed in the years after Reggie, the almost 20 years since. And you realize how much money was going through hands, coaches leaving programs, and now with kids making money. And with the NIL deals, it became especially funny, but in a sad way, that like Caleb Williams could have a $1 million sponsorship for some kind of NIL thing at a quarterback at the very university where Reggie had his Heisman taken away for being given money for, what was it, like a mortgage or rent or
something like some
kind of, it was the dumbest thing.
What I laugh at is people saying these players shouldn't be getting paid. You sound old and grumpy. There were administrators, coaches, everyone's getting paid and able to move the way they want to move for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So now these athletes have a bit of leverage and people are losing their minds. It ain't perfect.
Yeah.
Things need to be worked out. But for the decades prior to this, to where the athletes are getting absolutely nothing and putting in all the dang work, all right, they deserve 5 to 10 years of just going ham sandwich on this whole situation. Get your money. It's all jacked up. But you know what? So be it, man. Y'all been getting money for a while.
I saw a conspiracy theory floated as to why the Heisman Trust chose to do this now.
Oh.
And
I know this can't be out of the goodness of their hearts.
No, definitely not. Some people think it's to get back some public favor after they tweeted condolences after O.J. Simpson's passing, which, like, the guy died. Like, he won a Heisman Trophy.
That would be a pretty strong and almost unnecessary PR move. I would totally believe it.
But today,
had you not decided to give Reggie his Heisman back, no one would be talking about how you had a condolences tweet about O.J. Simpson. Literally no one would care or be talking
about
it.
About
we talked about it on that day and we were like, oh, kind of awkward. Maybe not a post I would have made, but no one's talking about it now.
Nah.
You didn't need to shift the narrative. but I'm glad that they did it and they should have done it years ago. And I think it's the right thing to do. That being said, Curtis and I are wondering where your Heisman is.
Yeah, Bump.
Given your stats. I mean, you found out some interesting... You were crunching the numbers.
I was just doing numbers. I wasn't doing it for myself. I was doing it for
exactly.
the show.
Yep.
And then
stats guy, Michael Bump.
I came across
analytics.
Reggie Bush's punt return yards.
Interesting. And, tell me about him.
Somebody from Culver City had more yards than him.
Wow. So
they talk about punt returns for touchdowns. Somebody had just as many.
I think it's interesting.
I mean, Washington State, y'all should have been pushing me for Heisman day one. No, I'm just playing, though. But it's cool to look at numbers. And be like, oh, well, we played at the same time. And I caught him there.
Yeah.
In life and in football, I ain't never going to catch him. But I caught him with the punt return game.
I have one final problem with this headline, and then we'll move on quickly to the other two since we're taking so much time. Sorry, Matt. The three rules of our show, Curtis, were, number one,
do it for the cloud.
Number two, don't pocket watch. And number three, give Reggie his Heisman back.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
We got to find a new one.
We need a new rule number three.
Rule number three.
I don't know if anyone
Stacy to wear a tail on Tuesday.
No, ooh, yes.
Can we please get that going?
No, we'll do something else. I don't want to be a rule three violator every single Tuesday. We have don't pocket watch, do it for the clout.
Oh my God. Can I respond to this real quick?
Yes.
Come on, Bump. They weren't getting absolutely nothing. They're getting free education. Why were they getting that education? The money that Reggie Bush produced, okay, exceeds whatever his scholarship was worth. Like, stop with that. They're putting their bodies at risk. This is a business. Mm-hmm. You do not pay your employees. You have to pay them. I'm so tired of that argument. Yeah, they got a free education. It wasn't free.
Well, and also,
I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to class. Then I'm going back to practice.
Then I'm going to rehab. Then I'm in the community doing all this stuff
they're
asking me to do.
You're playoffs during finals.
Man, it's not really.
I know a single player from UW at the time that I was there that actually pursued like an advanced degree, like went on to become, what was his name? God, it was like a fullbacker or a linebacker or something. Went on to like go to medical school or something. You know why a lot of athletes major in general studies? Because it is very hard to balance the hours that you need to put into your job as an athlete for the school and into your studies. Like, the whole point is just stay eligible.
They're
not holding your hand being like, you should absolutely pursue a degree in economics.
We're killing headline rewrites. What is the biggest revenue that comes out of universities? Sports.
Yeah.
The biggest sport.
Specifically, football and men's basketball.
Exactly. Come on now.
We have time for only one more. I'm sorry.
Headline number two.
Wait, can we do three? Because it's Matt's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yes, Matt.
The Lions made Amon-Ra St. Brown the highest paid receiver in the league today, signing into a 4-year extension worth $120 million, 77 of that guaranteed. What's the real headline?
Matt, do you want to read your headline?
No, but I will. With all that money, he'll be Amon-Ra St. Gold.
Hey!
No, just get it. Because gold's really expensive.
We got it, Matt.
And it's a lot of money.
You don't need to explain it. It's a good one, buddy. All right. We are going to stick with the Seahawks for the first hour. So we are getting back to the Mariners at 11. Ryan Roland-Smith is going to join us. We're going to talk about what happened in yesterday's series opener in Arlington and take a look ahead to the rest of this series. Talk about what's working out so well for the Mariners right now. Pitching, Cal Raleigh. Talk about Julio's first home run of the season. All kinds of good stuff. That's at 11. Get off my lawn. Best segment on the station weekly. Coming up at 10:45. First, though, interesting draft nuggets from Daniel Jeremiah, including a rumor of Penix to a top 15 team. Don't go anywhere.
Check out the Box Yard across from T-Mobile Park featuring Hatback Bar and Grill, Steelheads Alley, and Victory Hall. The Box Yard is Soto's premier pre- and post-game destination with delicious bites and brews. For more info, visit mariners.com/boxyard.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Some interesting draft nuggets from Daniel Jeremiah. This was from an X.com Spaces conversation. It was hosted by Tom Pelissero of NFL Network the other day. Devin Witherspoon was actually on it, which was pretty cool. He had great things to say about Michael Penix. You can go back and listen to it if you want to catch his comments. That's not what we're looking at today. Instead, we're going to focus on two little nuggets from Daniel Jeremiah. One of them is about Michael Penix, though. In fact, why don't we start there? So, Bump, as part of this conversation, I should tell you that Tom Pelissero said he thinks there's going to be six quarterbacks going in the first round. And that the real question is like, well, is Bo Nix a first rounder or not? Because he seems pretty sure to him that Michael Penix will be. It's about where Michael Penix is going to go. Let's talk about where he'll go. Daniel Jeremiah has a theory.
I've been connecting Penix to the Raiders for a long time. And my explanation on that has always been people say, well, is he worth going there? And I always push back on that and say, you're asking the wrong question. Is he better than their quarterbacks on their roster? And for me, that answer is yes. So if you've got a chance to upgrade at the most important position on the field, I think you should do it. So that's why I've been connecting Michael Penix to the Raiders through this process. I'm with you. I do think he goes in the first round. I mean, I would know that my confidence level is super high that's the spot, that's the team. But that's where I've been leaning with him.
Here's why I love this cut. There are two things I really want to explore with it that I think are fascinating conversations. I'm going to start with the first, which is, let's say Michael Penix Jr. goes to the Raiders, Bump. Is that a place where he can succeed?
I think so.
Why?
Yeah, I think so. Antonio Pierce, even though he did get in trouble over there at ASU, and the whole gang got in trouble over there, I think some discipline was just handed down to that football program over there. He can connect with this generation's athlete. Do you see how much those Raiders love them some Antonio Pierce in that locker room? Max Crosby, got Adams over there, Josh Jacobs before he left. It's about connecting. And I think because he's a younger guy, he can't connect. He does have a number one receiver. You got to go get this man a running back. But it's about the connection to me. And it's about putting him in a place to where you feel like he will have the investment of the organization. Now, upstairs is a bit different. I'm talking about just the coaches and whatever's going on over there. I think it's a perfect fit for Michael Penix Jr. going to Raiders for simply that alone. Now, you got to factor in, all right, what does the offensive line look like? What does the defense look like? Are they willing to invest in the pieces around him? But I think for starters, he does have a number one receiver that he can just close his eyes and toss it up to. And we talk about Davante Adams. He has been, or I think Rome Odunze has been comped to Adams. He's been comped to Larry Fitzgerald. So there's a similar style there as well. But I think mostly just because of the connection that Antonio Pierce has with his football team. He's a younger coach, and honestly, culturally as well. I mean, Antonio Pierce is, throw it out there, he's a black man who's a coach in the NFL. Michael Penix is a black quarterback in the NFL. They're going to connect on that level too. So not only just the ability to connect and understand each other on socially, on the field or whatnot, Antonio Pierce connects with everybody on that team, no matter your race, no matter your position. I think that's just a little extra there.
The second part of the conversation that I really like is why you take the players you do with, in this case, you being Tom Telesco, GM of the Raiders. Daniel Jeremiah said, look, someone out there, some analyst, me, Stacey Rost, might look at the draft and think, 12, Michael Penix Jr. isn't the 12th best athlete in this draft. I think 12 is a little high. I love Michael Penix Jr., but would I take a quarterback with, you know, an older quarterback with injury concerns and all that at number 12? If you're Tom Telesco, the question isn't whether number 12 is too high for Michael Penix Jr. compared to all these other players. It's who are the quarterbacks on your roster? Is Michael Penix better than them? Quarterback is the most important position in football. Do you have a chance to upgrade it? And when you look at it through that lens, 12 is a perfect fit. 12 is a perfect choice because you've got Gardner Minshew, go Cougs, and Aiden O'Connell, and then Anthony Brown Jr. Michael Penix Jr. is an immediate upgrade, even as a rookie, over all three of those guys in terms of giving you upside.
I also think that people confuse the strategy in a draft sometimes.
I agree.
When you're talking about a quarterback, it's rare that the quarterback is going to be, you got six quarterbacks who are the best football players in the country. No, they play a position that GMs and head coaches know they need to be solid at for them to have a chance to win a championship. You need offensive line. You need a defensive line. You need other positions. But when it's time to win a football game, that football is in the quarterback's hands, and he has the most influence. So that is where you reach. It's all about the importance of the position. You can have one of the best punters in the world. You ain't picking him first. Why? Because it's the importance of the position. The quarterback is such an important position that you reach at that position more than any other position, and you draft for need at that position more than any other position. Michael Penix ain't even, to me, the 12th best prospect in this draft. I could write off a whole bunch of other guys. The only quarterback I feel like is probably the best prospect in this draft is Caleb.
In terms of where he's going versus talent and ceiling. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
He's the best. He's the best. Other than that, Jaden, I can make a case for other guys to be drafted before. But guess what? Bears need a quarterback. New England needs a quarterback. Yep. Commanders need a quarterback.
Yep. Raiders need a quarterback.
Raiders need a quarterback. The Vikings need a quarterback. That's why they're probably going to move up. It's just that position is so important. That is where you reach. After that, and you got to start trying to figure out where they fit. Do you need an offensive lineman? Do you need a defensive lineman? But you reach for that quarterback.
And you could apply the same logic, honestly. Like, let's say Seattle's still going to need to take an inside linebacker. Let's say that they hadn't signed one of the two guys they did in free agency. You could use the same logic. What does John Schneider, or what should John Schneider care if this isn't a great class for linebackers? You need a linebacker. Is this guy fit for your team? Who cares if it's at second round, you know, pick number 38 and it feels like a reach? Who cares?
Yeah.
If he's the right fit for your team and you need that position and it's not just of need, he's one of the better guys that you think, who cares if other teams don't think it's a great class for linebackers or 32 teams can't find a great one? That's your guy.
Yeah.
And that's the case that Daniel Jeremiah is making for Michael Penix at 12 to the Raiders, and I love that pick.
And you know what? It's in that first round, you go and get the best football player, right? If you're not drafting a quarterback, you go and get the best football player. If one of the best happens to be at a position that you need, then okay, you didn't double it up. You're looking good. But after that, it's kind of where you start going for fit now. You start going for just need, necessity. But when you have an opportunity to draft in the top 12, 13, 14, I think you go and get the best available at a position unless you need a quarterback or an offensive lineman. I think I said it a couple of days ago, because those positions are connected and necessary. You look at the best quarterbacks, they typically have one of the better offensive lines. It's about getting the quarterback and protecting the quarterback. That's why edge rushers get paid so much. That's why tackles get paid so much. And that's why people reach for the quarterback position. No knock on running backs, but you can find yourself a running back late in the draft. No knock on linebackers, but this draft especially, you can find a linebacker late in the draft. But when you have an opportunity to pick early, you go ahead and just get the best athlete out there, unless you're getting a quarterback.
Speaking of tackles, there was a second nugget that I thought was really interesting. We've expected some movement in this class, whether it's the Vikings trading up, maybe the Giants or whatever, for quarterbacks specifically. But Daniel Jeremiah is looking at another position.
I also know there's teams that want to move up in this draft, and I think they're moving up for tackles, to be honest with you. And that is, New Orleans is one of those teams that wants to move up. The Colts are a team that's talked about moving up. The Philadelphia Eagles are a team that's talked about moving up.
I thought that was really interesting, because obviously we are looking at pick number 16 for Seattle being potentially tackle Troy Fautanu. Obviously, you'd be moving him to guard, but like, that's one of the tackles that could be targeted there. I think there's a chance he goes at 14 to the Saints. If you start having movement, if you have a team leapfrog the Saints at 16 and take a tackle, it's even likelier Troy Fautanu goes at 14 and you don't have a chance at him. I thought that was interesting. It raised a little flag for me to kind of track that.
Yeah, and that's why I can see the Seahawks trading back and trying to acquire more picks, because they go, look, if we don't get a Troy Fautanu, if we don't get a Brock Bowers, if we don't get Michael Penix, okay, then what are we really shooting for? Now, you guys let all those guys decide all the chaos that's going on in front of you, and we trade back and really dig into our analysis of football players and rely on that. But at 16, there's only two or three guys that they're really looking at. If they're gone, go ahead and trade back and get more picks.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We're talking Mariners with Ryan Roland Smith coming up in about 20 minutes. Before we get to that, though, Get Off My Lawn coming your way next.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bumpin' Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Ryan Roland Smith joining us. Some interesting news on Blake Snell today. Plus, there's some stuff we need to talk about when it comes to Cal Raleigh. Before we get to any of it, though, it's time for Get Off My Lawn, where one Michael Bumpus is going to tell us the three things driving him crazy today. So what's going on, Bump?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
What up? Time to get off my dang lawn. And you know what? This first one, I think about my dad. I think about my uncles. I think about just anybody who has me by like 15, 20 years. I can imagine like when the late 90s came around and Jordan is phasing out of the NBA. David Robinson is phasing out. Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler. Oakley, like all these dudes that are phasing out, and then you got these young cats coming in. You got Kobe Bryant coming in. Shaq is dominating the league right now. Tim Duncan is doing his thing. This is what I'm seeing right now. My guys are being phased out. Luka just smacked the Clippers, didn't smack him last night, but he beat the Clippers and he's yelling and hollering. I go, dang, man, I'm hating on him because he's young. Anthony Edwards beating KD, Beasley, and Booker. I go, come on, man, big three. I'm hating on Anthony Edwards because he's young. Halliburton, he won a game last night. I'm hating on him because he's young. And then the Joker and Jamal Murray just making us look silly. I know you're 40 years old, LeBron James, and I got to take that into account. But I'm watching these young dudes ball, and I go, goodness gracious, I don't like this. You know what it's like? It's like when I go to LA Fitness or something, I get on the court, and I got to guard the youngster. I know I may look like I'm in good shape. I'm not in that type of shape. I'm not in 25-year-old type of shape. So I'm watching the NBA playoffs, and I go, our run is over, boys. Our run is over. These young fellas are doing things that we just can't do. LeBron's trying his best to keep up. KD can't keep up with Anthony Edwards. It's over, boys. So all my old heads, man, that my 38s and up, man. Let's go and sit in our lawn together, water the grass, and watch the kids play in the street. Because that's what it feels like right now. I'm on my lawn. I'm watering the grass. I'm yelling at the kids to be careful. They're playing football on the street. There's cars passing by, and they're fearless. And they don't care. And it just all hit me last night, Stacey. I'm like, it's over, man. I am my dad now.
That's tough.
I'm when Jordan phased out. Keem Olajuwon is gone. Larry Bird, no. Magic, out of there. Isaiah Thomas, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm that generation now.
Thoughts and prayers,
that
man.
Hurts me.
I mean, Thomas technically with the Suns. I'll be quiet.
Wrong
What's your
Thomas.
Second one?
Wrong
I'm a
Thomas.
Man.
Oh,
I'm
oh my bad. My bad. My bad. My bad.
Next one. It's getting crazy how we're paying these quarterbacks. It really is getting crazy. Dak Prescott is going to hit a cap hit for $55 million this year. Absurd. What has Dak Prescott done? I'm so tired of this. Oh, it's time for him to get paid. No, it ain't time to get paid. You got to prove you're getting paid. Because, honestly, these quarterbacks, you are really going to start hurting these rosters. You're already hurting the rosters, right? Kyler Murray paid in 2022. No playoffs wins. One playoff appearance. Deshaun Watson paid. Can't get on the field. One playoff win. Kirk Cousins keeps getting paid. One playoff win. Daniel Jones, how did he get paid? No playoffs wins, $40 million. They're about to draft a quarterback. It's getting out of hand. Owners, y'all need to stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to pay you off of your production, not off of what we think you can do, not because we don't want anyone else to pay you. Y'all got to come together. This is the one time I'm with you, GMs. All right, y'all got to come together because this is getting crazy. The last three seasons, the top passers in the league, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Goff, and Derek Carr. Not Kyler Murray, not Deshaun Watson, not Kirk Cousins, not Dak Prescott, and for sure not no dang Daniel Jones. I'm looking at the way these quarterbacks are getting paid, and I go, look, man, I'm not going to hate because you get money, but you are going to kill your team. You're already killing your team. Pat Mahomes is the only one who said, look, pay me. I got it. Don't trip. I'll throw a left-handed. I'll do a backflip and then toss one up 50 yards, and my boy's going to catch it. The rest of y'all are perpetrating. Y'all need to start producing because this is getting crazy. Stop paying these quarterbacks all this dang money if they have not produced on the field. Get a dang playoff win. And I'm talking about these guys are the highest paid when it comes to annual average. Murray, Watson, Cousin, Prescott, and you throw Daniel Jones in there just because I don't like Daniel Jones, okay? It's getting crazy. Stop paying these quarterbacks off of potential. Pay them off of what they've done. Goodness gracious.
From the 425, I love when Bump starts all calm and then escalates. Quote, here's what's going on, this and that. And I can't stand these dang kids. Get off my lawn. Someone else said, you should make this a segment. Y'all, 10:45 every single Wednesday.
I mean, it's been a segment.
It's been 10:45. You can hear Get Off My Lawn. And in fact, it's three things. We got one. We got two. We got one more. Curtis and I don't hear them before, by the way. So we hear them along with you guys. So what do we got for number three?
You know what? I'm going to try to squeeze in two.
I'm a man.
Right now.
I'm 40.
I'm
going
to try to squeeze in two. All right. We just had this conversation about athletes. And some guy is sitting there, he probably didn't make his JV squad. He probably couldn't catch a football. He probably couldn't do anything on a field or a court. Therefore, he didn't get a scholarship. He's saying, bum, what do you mean? They get a free education. They get health care. They get this. They get that. You know what they also get? They get to risk their bodies every single day. They get to wake up in the morning at 4 o'clock, go to training, go to practice, go to class, come back, go to study hall, go to practice again, watch film, wake up in the morning, do it again. I'm not saying they're not benefiting from their ability. Yeah, you should benefit from your ability. If you are a scientist, if you are curing cancer, if you're at UW Medicine, guess what? There's scholarships over there too for them. So because you didn't have anything special about yourself, you're going to hate on these young men and women who provide a service for a university, which helps fund everything that goes on at the university. All right. I'm not saying there's no benefit from being a scholarship athlete. There is. Thank you, Washington State and everyone else who offered me a scholarship. All right. Everyone else. I appreciate that. But there's a reason why. You know why they offered me? Because I got busy on the football field. They didn't offer me because I look good walking down the street in some J's. No, they offered me because my jersey's retired at Culver City High School. Now, that's as good as it gets for you, boy. I didn't play long in the league. I know you're going to come after me. That's cool. All right? But there's a reason why there are scholarships. There's a reason why these kids are able to go ahead and get their money now because the universities have been getting their money for a decade. So stop with all that noise. That's the one I squeeze in.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right? Last one.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I don't know how people live like this. I don't know how people live like this. I'm driving to work every day, and every day there's someone who just crosses the street without looking both ways, head down, on the phone, not paying attention. How do you live life like that? I'm so paranoid when I'm crossing the street. I'm looking both ways, and then they get mad when if you get a little too close. Like, look, man, we got to make eye contact. I know we stopped and all that stuff, but people who just live their life with their head down when they're walking across the street, walking down the street, y'all gotta pay attention, man. It's dangerous out there. It's dangerous. I don't get how you do it. So that's my last one.
Oh,
man.
That's a good one. That's one I didn't even think of today. I don't even normally think of, but that drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah, just look.
Just look up. at any point. Don't make me run into you.
Yeah.
Don't make me, excuse me.
Hey, just make eye contact. Yeah. I'm not going to hit you anyway, but like for your own safety.
Yeah, like this sidewalk is not magic. You know what I mean? Like this is not a magic carpet that you're walking across. It is paint on a road.
it's not a magic carpet.
You need to pay attention. Pay close attention. Now, Bump, this is my favorite segment. And I want to make clear that I have agreed with everything you have said. However, you did have a Rule 2 violation.
What'd I do?
No pocket watching.
Dang.
What? Who am I watching?
You know, if we're going to say Daniel, all the quarterback. Now, here's the thing. I'm glad you did that segment. And I'm glad you did it. And you should do it. And that was a perfect one. But one of the listeners said, pocket watching.
Pocket watching
violation. However, taking a foul on purpose.
I like this. You know what? Because we have to hold each other accountable.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
And I will admit when I'm pocket watching, but this is for the sake of the Seattle Seahawks.
Thank you. That's exactly
right.
That's
why I'm watching.
So sometimes, you know, you do have a Rule 2 violation sometimes. You know, you got a pocket watching violation. Yeah. However, sometimes it's worth it, but we still gotta call ourselves out when we violate rules.
My bad.
Of the
show. People say I was yelling. I got a little loud today. I apologize.
Oh, I love it.
I apologize.
This is my favorite segment we do. Ryan Roland Smith joining us next. Talk Mariners. Don't go anywhere.